Thank you for joining us for this Repertoire podcast. And now, your host, Scott Adams.
Hey guys, so glad you're joining us today. I've got the president and CEO of Quidel on with me, Mr. Doug Bryant. I also have the senior vice president of distribution for Quidel on with me, Michael Abney. Mike and Doug, I'm so glad are here today. We're going to talk a lot about molecular, but we also talk a little bit about, and I think you'll find the conversation pretty interesting, what they went through last year. And I love some of Doug's comments in this podcast, because he doesn't just talk about what Quidel went through. He talks about what the industry went through, and even mentions, you know, his competitors in that, and how cool it was to see everybody come together in a time that the country needed us, or needed them rather, not us. I'm just a magazine publisher, but anyways, I'm very excited about this conversation. Stick with it. You're going to enjoy it. And thank you for being here today. Doug and Mike, thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited about this conversation today. It's been a while since I've done a podcast. I think the last one I did was right at the end of 2020, which I'm glad is over. But I'm happy to be on one here for 2021 and a fresh year, and really interested to hear both of your insights as to what last year, I mean, we all went through last year in a different way, but for you guys in the diagnostic business, I mean, I can't imagine the stress level and the amount of hours that you put in versus a normal year. So really interested to have some of those conversations. So thank you both for being here.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much. Looking forward to it. And it's been, I will tell you, it's been the most interesting, rewarding, and challenging year, I think, for us both. Because what we do became more public, and it really created an accelerator for our business. So it has been, like you said, a very tough year as far as the amount of time that we put into it, but it's been fun and rewarding to see our products have a different type of impact on the country and on the world. So it's been rough, like you said, but fun at the same time. And we always try to keep it pretty light at Quidel. So there haven't been hardly any days where I at the end of the day, I said, I can't believe I'm doing this. It's really the opposite of, I feel privileged to be a part of it. So it's been a tough year, but a great one.
Yeah. How about you, Doug?
Yeah, thanks, Scott, first of all, for having us on. It's great to see you again just a couple minutes ago on the video. But thank you so much for having us on. You know, in March last year, over a year ago now, we were in Orlando. Randy Stewart, our CFO, Ruben Argueta, our director of IR, and I were in Orlando having just completed the Raymond James Healthcare Conference. And we were at the airport struggling to figure out when we were actually going to get to come home. And, as in those days, flights delayed, fully booked and all that sort of thing, packed airport, having a beer. When we got a call from the vice president's office, said, can you come up and see us tomorrow morning? And that, I believe, was March 4th. And so we did. And so I sat across from the vice president at the time, Mike Pence, and a room full of other healthcare executives. The only other company in the room that was from the diagnostic manufacturing space was actually, the only other person was Robert Ford, who, as some of you may know, is the CEO at Abbott. And we sat on either side of Steve Hahn, who's the FDA commissioner, but the room was filled with Secretary Azar, Brett Giroir, a handful of folks, also reference lab CEOs, Quest, LabCorp, Mayo, et cetera. And after that, we flew back and got started. And I guess on March 17th, we actually had our first assay EUA cleared. So just think about that. And the timing, the speed, the resilience of the R&D organization at Quidel, just the ability to do that and then ramp up. Some of you may know we manufacture our PCR assays in our plant in Ohio. That team did an excellent job of scaling up and getting to where we now are quite quickly. But I think we probably, Mike and I and others, probably worked every day pretty much for at least the next 7 or 8, maybe 9 months. And I think at some stage we all decided to take a day off one weekend. I can't remember which weekend that was, but it's been a roller coaster and a lot of effort. Of course, we were the first rapid antigen test that was cleared on May 8th. And similarly here in San Diego, we've had the same sort of manufacturing challenges, but very grateful and thankful for the partnership with the entire distribution, the whole industry, because I think that without it, we could never have gotten all this done. We just don't have, obviously, the people to do everything that you all do for us. You know, our entire company has actually only 1,300 people. So
yeah, it's amazing.
But so we rely on it. But what a fantastic year. Fantastic year internally, but also fantastic partnership with the folks at HIDA and all the companies that are in the distribution industry. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you mentioned a couple of things there before I jump in, and you guys kind of answered my first question, so I don't even really need to ask that one, but a couple of things there. I mean, you mentioned Vice President Pence at the time. I can't imagine the last probably 3 weeks for him. He probably hasn't woken up from a nap. He has to be so exhausted from the last year. I'm sure there's very much part of him that's glad he's getting some downtime and some rest. Guys, most of this podcast is going to be around, you know, the bulk of it's going to be around molecular testing. I really want to get into some of that with you guys and some of the changes that have come and some of the things you've had to do over the last year. And Doug, I love that you know some of those dates. I think that's really cool for you to just throw out May 8th. We got our first antigen test ready to go. It just describes how involved you guys are in this every day. But can you just, you know, as the last year, you know, has kind of progressed through, you know, those of us in the industry have watched the diagnostic companies really morph and kind of turn on a dime. Can you address kind of some of those things that you guys had to do, just, you know, almost to the point what you just talked about there a little bit, Doug, and some of the changes, especially when you talk about, you know, you've got a company with, you know, 1,300 employees and you got the entire world's eyes upon you.
Sure. I think that's a really interesting thought and question, Scott. You know, the entire industry, not just Quidel, but the entire industry has done a superb job in ramping up in order to provide molecular solutions. And we could go through the whole list, but every single one of us had to follow a similar path where we had to identify an increasingly larger supply of a number of ingredients, if you will, including the enzymes. We had to secure alternative enzyme manufacturers. We found probes and primers to be easier. There were a number of companies that could manufacture in the quantities that we would require. But it was also all the disposable items that came with the kits. We made a decision early on to provide swabs to our customers. That in hindsight turned out to be a very good decision. We also had, because of our product, we had to ensure that we had customers that had the right instrumentation in place. And in some cases, we actually acquired instruments from Thermo Fisher for customers in order that they could get started up. I think to the tune of somewhere around 75, 80 customers that fit that category, where we actually own the equipment that's in their labs. So every single one of us in the industry has had to face similar challenges. And your comment about, you know, pivoting on a dime, I think it's quite apropos and a good metaphor for what happened. We all had to just get going and under increasing scrutiny from HHS, who on a daily basis wanted to know how many are we making, how many are we shipping, which distribution channels are you using? And just a quick aside, Scott, I would just say that I think most of the audience can be pretty proud of what happened at the government level. The FDA responded extremely well. HHS, DOD, the NIH, CDC, a lot of dedicated people working a lot of hours. we don't hear about it on the news.
Yeah.
It's not popular to say that your government works well, but those people, these are career folks who've worked in these government jobs for a very long time. And they're super dedicated. You know, what's happening at the FDA right now is just phenomenal. The number of hours that these people are putting in is just unbelievable. So, you know, I just provide that because I think maybe that's an interesting perspective that some of your audience may not have heard before.
Yeah, without a doubt. Mike, you want to chime in on that a little bit, coming at it from maybe a little different angle?
Yeah, so I will say we worked for the 6 years before 2020 very intensely to try to improve our distribution relationships. We're a little bit over the top with it, actually, very important to us. And during all that time, you could see that we had big plans, and this gave us a boost to get there faster. But in all the years previous, as great as our plans were, we were dealing with our distribution partners had 50 other companies to worry about that wanted all of their attention in the same way. So when we launched the Sophia antigen test, we were boosted to the front of the line from a regulatory perspective with our distributors. And so we were able to do some things that we were wanting to do anyway, much faster. So we had planned on being a $1 billion company within the next few years. And we got there much quicker because we were able to get a lot of products out to the market faster with the EUA process than we would have been before. And that continues. At the distribution level, we saw a lot more of the distribution reps focused on what we were doing than we'd ever seen. So I talked to somebody this week, one of our best partners, and they've been tracking this for years. 60 to 70% in an average year of all of the distribution reps in this company, and it's a point of care distribution company, closed some type of lab instrument. And it took 10 years to get from the 60% range to the 70% range. In 2020, it was over 90%. So that's other 30%, right, that had never closed a lab deal in their careers, two-thirds of them did. So that's a good example for you of what changed for us. Instead of being one of the top suppliers that people were focused on for a while, we've been in the very top focus group. And we've gotten a lot more people interested in diagnostics, respiratory testing, molecular testing, and what the platforms will look like in the future in several different markets. And that's been a really exciting part of this for us, is that we had laid a pretty solid framework with our distribution partners, and we had to suddenly add thousands of new customers in a very short amount of time. Normally we would have added the number of customers we did this year over 4 years or 5 years, and we had to do it all really quickly. So as Doug said, that would have been impossible by ourselves. And the fact that we had some tests that were first to market, early to market, and they were good tests with fair pricing that everybody wanted, we were able to do a lot of our plans for year four this year. And so that's been exciting for us, and our partnerships right now are at an all-time high for sure.
You know, a handful of things that came out of that are interesting out of both those conversations. One, Mike, you know, the comment on the 60 to 70% is just amazing that now it's up to closer to 90. And I think the takeaway, at least in my experience in 27 years of being in the industry and doing this both on the distribution manufacturing side, is, you know, when a rep's afraid to talk about something, they just won't ever do it. I don't care what spiff bonus you put out there. They're just nervous. They won't. And now that they've kind of all overcome that, it'll be interesting to see the type of lab and diagnostic and equipment that gets sold moving forward once we move out of this pandemic, hopefully sooner rather than later. And then Doug, I want to just touch on a couple of things that you just said. One, I've probably done, I don't know, 15 CEO podcast since all of this started, and not one of you amongst you has not mentioned the entire industry. I think it is really cool how the industry came together there were no competitors during this. And while the world's eyes were on us, or at least the American world's eyes were on us in our space, I think we really shined. And then I really do appreciate your comment about the government and the fact that nobody knew how to handle this, and they jumped in and did the very best they could and worked countless hours. And you are the first person I've heard that's really kind of stepped up and said, man, the level that they worked at and what they did was incredible. I appreciate you saying that. I'm going to shift gears on you guys and switch more towards what the podcast is about, which is talking a little bit about molecular. And one of the things, Doug, you just mentioned in that last segment was, you know, having the right instrument in place at the right account. And so most of the listeners that we have today, you know, are in the distribution business. And now, according to Mike, it sounds like about 90% of them are selling diagnostics and equipment. Can you talk a little bit, either one of you, I don't care which one of you jumps in on this, you know, on understanding, you know, as we look at molecular, what's the right testing to have in place, whether it's a rapid or reader molecular, and how do reps need to work through that to understand what method is best for their accounts?
That's an important question, I think, Scott, and we're perhaps not necessarily uniquely positioned, but we are blessed in a way in that we have resident within our organization all of the technologies that are employed. We have, of course, the PCR assay, which has done extremely well, particularly in the highly complex settings. We now also have an isothermal amplification methodology too, an instrument called Solana, just launching that now. That differs from that highly complex space in that we can now go into the mod complex area and we can do a number of tests all at once. So you're looking at doing, you know, 12 assays at a time within, you know, 20 something minutes. So it's pretty handy for a segment that is closer to the community, whether it's the hospital lab or even an urgent care center that has the capability to do mod complex. You can get closer to where the folks actually live. And I like to say, and democratize testing, you know, getting testing where people can get access to it affordably. You know, also obviously with Sophia, we're probably best known for Sophia and our rapid test there, in particular influenza and RSV and others. But, you know, that has a certain need and segment as well. So in the clinic setting where you do a lot of asymptomatic testing, or whether you're in an urgent care, you can see how the economy and the speed and the availability of the testing could be quite useful. Recently, we took our QuickVue product line, and I know some of the older folks who've been in the industry for quite some time have probably been representing our QuickVue product for a long time. I think we've been manufacturing that product line for over 15 years now. So, but we also now have a QuickVue SARS assay, so that the customer that doesn't really want an instrument at all and they just want the ability to do it can have a visually read test that they can perform quite easily. So I think we're blessed in that we represent all of the customer segments. And, you know, from our perspective, our motto is more find out what the customer wants and give it to them. And I think we have the capability to do that. But I do think your point's quite good, Scott. Understanding which product fits best in these different situations, because diagnostics is quite complex from a technology perspective, but as well as a you know, location and, you know, access to healthcare sort of perspective. So I would say generally that when we talk to the large institutions, you see a lot of folks saying, hey, if you're going to admit the person, they have symptoms, into that hospital segment, we're going to run a PCR. And then we're going to use PCR on that inpatient. And up to the end when we discharge the patient, we're still going to run a PCR at the very end. But in clinic situations and outside of the larger lab setting, many of the institutions who are testing asymptomatic populations are choosing to use the rapid test. But But for sure, moving forward, regardless of what you hear on the news about this dramatic need for rapid antigen testing, my view is that there will continue to be a need for molecular tests. Molecular tests are the best at identifying things in very low concentrations like RNA viruses, and they have definitely a need. So it's well worth the industries, the distribution industries, is well worth the time to educate yourself on which product fits best depending on what the customer needs are, because odds are that it's not just going to be a unique decision. It'll be a decision that says, in these settings, we're going to do this, but in these settings, we're going to do that. And what I see overall is I see customers incorporating in a number of situations, multiple technologies.
Yeah, absolutely. I threw you a curveball there because I went to question the fourth question and skipped the third one, but I do want to come back to the third one. And okay. Especially based on what you just said there, Doug, walk me through the value of molecular testing today, kind of in this era of COVID that we find ourselves, and why, and you kind of touched on a little bit, but why it's so important to keep adding to that platform.
Well, the most obvious case is as we move out of the testing only for people who have symptoms into the asymptomatic population, which is going to be required in order to get people back into restaurants, people back into football games, and music venues and all that. We're going to need to understand that in those populations, when we test and the prevalence is low, a negative is fine, but a positive is going to need to be confirmed, and it's going to need to be confirmed by molecular. And so there's a couple ways to do it. One, you can send that molecular test to a centralized facility where they're doing a large volume all at once, and I think there will be a great need for that. You can also send it to a location that's doing molecular, but with a more decentralized format like Solana, or maybe the Abbott ID Now as an example, would be two comparable performing products. They both look a lot like PCR in performance, but I'd say close. But not necessarily identical. Understanding that moving forward, even as we vaccinate, even as we have more people who have been exposed, we're going to do these rapid tests, but we're going to need to confirm the results. And then for those folks, unfortunately, who have disease that is problematic and need to be treated, you're going to need the molecular tests for those people as well. So the molecular testing for this category may plateau a bit, but it's not going away for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned there getting people back into football games and restaurants. The other way I think we can do that is just send them to Duval County where Abney's at, because Duval is wide open. Anyways, I was down there last week to visit my mom for her 70th birthday, and I couldn't believe how open it is. Mike, I'm going to come back over to you real quick since I just picked on you and your county there a little. I know you have countless conversations with distribution corporately, and so do I, but where the rubber meets the road in our industry is that distribution rep that's out there in the field and the drivers and customer service folks. And Mike, you can chime in on this as well. But Mike, what would you say to those folks that have been working frontline for the last, 12 months and getting supply, not just diagnostic, but also PPE and having to source that all over the place? I know I talked to them, and the stress level's off the charts.
That's for sure. So as you said, we talk to the management teams on a constant basis and the field reps and field management. And so from those conversations, we know that they've had the same type of year we have. Maximum effort, long days, taking calls on the weekends. And so I think this turned out to be a year in which if all the companies and groups that worked like that have come out ahead, all the reps that worked like that have come out ahead of their competitors or peers, because that wasn't everybody. But as a whole, when you look at our best distribution partners, that same effort that we were putting forth, ours was a little more concentrated around launches and intense moments. And they had a steady year of more volume of calls and customer service touch points than they've ever had. So If that had not happened, we would have been in a tough spot. We had enough customer service people on our end to handle what we usually handled, right? And so the distribution groups, they were ready, and some more ready than others. But I will say, when you look at all of the companies that we work with, it was all hands on deck, and we really do appreciate it. And as Doug said to me last week, you know, never before have these partnerships and relationships been more valuable and critical to us as they were for us this year. And they stepped up for us, they stepped up for the customers. And so everybody in this circle, you know, you think about Quidel, we're one company in this space, and we shipped probably 60 million tests, more than we would have during that normal time period, and thousands more customers. And so that took the last mile, right? And taking care of those customers and getting them prompt answers. And so I think our partnerships with our distributors, and especially all the people you just named, we tried to thank them as much as we can. And that seems like a little bit, not enough, right? I wish there was something else we could say, but it's been an industry-wide effort this year, and they've come through for us in a big way. So I wish I could talk to all of the customer service people. Hopefully some of them will listen to this too, but to all of the reps that are our partners and friends out there, it's still going. So it feels a little strange to say, hey, thank you, because it's still ongoing. We've got a ways to go, but I've been impressed. And you and I talked for years about the value proposition of the distributor. And of course, in my time there, we talked about it a lot more, and it just really came out this year.
Oh, definitely.
And it was fun to be a part of.
Yeah, if you don't mind, Scott, I'll add to what Mike has very nicely described, but never in my 35 years in this industry have I seen a situation where demand so far exceeds supply. And what that creates for the folks who are closer to the customer, the folks who are listening, that creates a situation that of unease and discomfort at minimum. And to those folks, I would say, you know, thank you for your resilience, your determination, your patience. We are very appreciative of what you have lived through so far. It's going to get better. I can promise you on our side as a company, our best efforts to increase what we can deliver for your customers. And I can also promise you transparency. Along the way, we will be as open, as transparent as we can, so that we never overpromise. That we, when we tell you that we can ship X, we can ship X. And I see a lot of bold promises by companies that are not necessarily in the space right now, suggesting things that I just say, but I can promise you on our part, we've always tried from the very start not to communicate something that we don't believe firmly, that we can deliver. So I promise you that transparency moving forward as well. So again, thank you for everything that you do.
Doug, I love what you said there, and I couldn't agree more. I think distribution reps are absolutely as important as they've probably ever been, whether we believe it or not. Their customers absolutely believe it. I don't want to take too much more of you guys' time. I want to just ask you one last question here. You know, as we start out 2021, what are the positives that you see for the future of, you know, diagnosing respiratory issues in patients going forward?
Well, the biggest sea change, I think, is just the public's knowledge of the diagnostics industry. You know, we joke sometimes in meetings and say, you know, it's funny how we have people in the grocery store talking about PCR as if they know what they're talking about. And
yeah,
You know, exactly. So just the understanding of the value of testing has changed quite dramatically because of this. Unfortunately, we have this disease, but what it has created is an understanding of knowledge is power. Taking charge of your own health can begin quite often with a test. And this will, I think, transcend beyond COVID to other parts of respiratory disease testing and other chronic illnesses as well. But I think people will become more aware and understand, for example, if they're not feeling well during influenza, maybe they should get off the couch and go figure out how to go get a test. And right. Or maybe they've got other symptoms of RSV in their children or whatever. I think people are going to become increasingly knowledgeable of what's out there that can help them take charge of their own healthcare.
Yeah, and so we agree on that answer, really the awareness of testing. And as a side benefit, all of our kids and spouses and friends now know what it is we do for a living. And for years it was, oh, he's medical something or other. And now diagnostic testing is on the news every night. And so that was a side benefit. But really there's been an uptick in knowledge of what the different types of diagnostic testing and the value publicly for this entire year, and certain to be for the next couple of years as well. So that tells us that the future for respiratory testing and all types of diagnostics is on the upswing going into 2021 as much as it ever has been in our, we won't quote how many years Doug and I have between us in the business, but it's a lot. This is the biggest upswing in knowledge across everybody in the country, globally, and in the business that we've ever seen.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. My dad's a retired Marine. I can't tell you how many times he said, "Yeah, my son's in the pharmaceutical business." I was like, "Dad, yes, I never sold a pharmaceutical product in my life." You know, he knows exactly what I do now. Guys, I can't tell you how great that conversation was, and I'm so thankful we got to do it. I know you both have been overly worked and stressed out, just like everybody else in the industry this past couple of months. So it's taken us a little bit of time, but thank you so much for your time. I know the audience will get a ton out of this, and I really appreciate both of you. And get some rest, and look forward to seeing you soon, hopefully.
Yeah, that would be great, Scott.
Thank you. We'll be in Jacksonville without your mask soon.
We'll be in Jacksonville.
Yeah, go down and play some golf.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, guys. See y'all. Bye bye. Man, I knew that conversation was going to be solid, and it definitely was. I love the fact that, you know, Mike talked about distribution and how thankful he was for them and how much they did this past year. And he wasn't just talking about the reps or corporate, but also mentioned customer service and the drivers and everybody else that's just involved to bring PPE and diagnostic testing to the caregivers so they can take care of the American public this year. And then also, I thought Doug's comment around thanking the government. Yeah, they're not perfect. We all know that. The former administration wasn't, the current administration won't be, but they're just human beings trying to do the very best they can. So I really appreciate his comment there. And hopefully you guys got a bunch out of this podcast. And I look forward to seeing you hopefully in the very near future. Take care of yourselves and go out there and sell some molecular testing.